10, and we'll pick up on our study going through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, Hebrews 10 and verse 32. It says in verse 32, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Read verse 39 aloud with me, would you? "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for all that you have done for us. I thank you for your Son who died for us on the cross and rose again 3 days later that we might be saved, that sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Lord, one day that trumpet will sound and you'll call us up to be with you. But in the meantime, we have directed access to the Lord through prayer because of the work of your Son. And I'm so thankful for it. I pray tonight that as we study your word, that you'd open up our hearts and mind to the scriptures. Lord, that you would feed us from your word this evening. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Forward by faith is the title of the message. It comes from that verse, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." You know, I think of that. I think of the scripture when I read that. I think of the scripture in Matthew chapter 16 where the Lord says, "The gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against the church." You know, the church is perpetually on offense. And have anybody ever felt like maybe you were getting beaten backwards and moving in the reverse, all right? We may feel that way at times, but the reality is we are on the winning side. And heaven is our home. It is a sure thing. It is a promise. And the church is moving forward. The only way out of the fight is to quit the fight, if you will. And that's the only way to turn around. I think of how the writer is reminding us we're not of those who draw back unto perdition. We're not going back to what we were saved from. We were not only saved out of the sin in the world, but we were saved unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're headed to glory. And so we move forward by faith. And he gives some encouragement here in this passage of Scripture to really remember some things and to practice some things. The first thing I want you to notice is in verse 32, this phrase, it says this, "But call to remembrance the what? The former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly while as ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while as ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." He said, remember, if you will, the former days. The first thing that catches me is they were days of illumination. If you look at verse 32, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were what? Illuminated." John chapter 1, 8 through 12 says this, "He was not that light," that's speaking of John the Baptist, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," that was the Lord Jesus Christ, "that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Ephesians 1:18, "For the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." Well, do you remember the day you were saved? The day, if you will, that your eyes were open and illuminated what your Savior had done for you. I think of the scripture where the Lord talks about how in Corinthians that the writer Paul would say about how Satan blinds the eyes of the ungodly to the light of the glorious gospel. Do you remember the day when it all came together for you and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I've said it before, but I enjoy saying it. May of 1995 at Madera Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, on about the second pew there on the right-hand side, if you were standing at the from the pulpit looking out, and my dad was preaching through the book of 1 John. I don't remember the message. I do remember 1 John, but But I certainly remember coming to the conclusion that it wasn't just Jesus that died for the sins of the whole world, but that he had died for me specifically. And it became very personal to me. I grew up around the gospel, heard it my whole life, but that night I decided to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ personally. I remember that day. I've often said it, but the hymn always reminds it. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul that day that I was saved, where my eyes were opened to the scripture. Now, I had heard it, but that day I chose to accept it. And he says, I want you to call to remembrance those former days, the days in which you were illuminated, that day that you came to understand the gospel. Maybe you've had the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone and seeing them bow their head and trust Christ as their personal Savior. You ever watch their face as they come to that place of trusting Christ? Boy, illuminated is a good word, because their eyes are open to what Christ has done for them. Their eyes are open to the fact that they were a sinner and there's a penalty for sin, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again 3 days later and paid the penalty for their sins. And their eyes are open to the wonder of the gospel, and they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to call to remembrance that those former days when you came to be illuminated. But it doesn't just say there, but the days that they were to remember, days of illumination, days that letter B of affliction. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of what? Affliction. Well, they endured some hard times then. And their hard times for their faith, boy, our hard times compare nothing to theirs. Let me read some of these verses I looked at in Sunday school this past week. But in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen's death, where they stoned him for his faith. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Look at verse 4, or Acts 22, verse 4. This is Paul. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Acts 22, 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Acts 26, 9 through 11. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. That's Paul's testimony. His testimony is that he went everywhere finding Christians, even strange cities, going to find those who would be baptized in the name of Christ and be followers of the Lord, and he would compel them to blaspheme. He would try to get them to deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they refused to deny the name of Jesus Christ, they would be in prison, and Paul would give his testimony against them that they would be delivered even unto death for their faith, to be killed for the fact that they believed in Jesus. Well, talk about some pretty heavy persecution. Boy, I would not say that folks haven't been through hard times sometimes for their faith and maybe some ridicule and various things, but boy, that early church, a step of baptism, that first step of obedience, was a step that may deliver you unto death. It may cost you your very life to step into those waters and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a time of affliction. In verse 34, it said, or verse 33, partly why she were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. For he had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They lost their wealth. They lost what little they had. They many times lost their life. Men and women delivered into prison. I picture young people, children, watching their mother or their father be taken away out of the service as they were being led away and imprisoned for their faith and maybe even martyred for their faith, and children watching that as they lost everything because they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the crowd that he was speaking to. He was speaking to some folks who, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, endured great persecution. Well, it kind of puts things a little bit in perspective for us today, doesn't it? The fact that we have great liberty in sharing the gospel. Well, there are places we face opposition at times, but friend, I think, like Paul said, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should go forth boldly with it. There were folks who, not only did our Savior give His life, but there were many Christians of history who gave their life. They were days of illumination. They were days of affliction. They were days of testimony. Verse 32, 33 says this, partly while as ye were amazed, a what? A gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while as ye became companions of them that were so used. He said, boy, you were put on display for your faith. I think of how they publicly whipped our Jesus, how they publicly stripped Him naked in the common hall, how they publicly shoved the crown of thorns upon His head, how they publicly beat Him and plucked out His beard, how they publicly nailed Him to a cross and spit in His face and mocked His name. Friend, He wasn't the last one. Christians who were publicly martyred for their faith, publicly made a gazing stock. And He said, not only some of them that were, but some of them who were companions of them that were so used. In other words, there He was writing to some folks who had seen their loved ones publicly made a gazing stock of. But it gave them great opportunity for testimony. Peter would say this in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 15 said, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter challenged him. He goes, you're going to face persecution for your faith. You're going to face imprisonment and even death. And he said, I'm telling you that when you're made a gazing stock, let your testimony be of such that people have to say, how can you do that? And you're ready to give an answer with the hope that lieth within you. You're ready to answer with hope that you have faced persecution. I think some of the greatest evidences of the resurrection of the Lord is that we know through history that, boy, those disciples died a martyr's death. Boy, if Jesus didn't rise again, if it was all a lie, why would someone die for that lie? Why would Peter give up his life? Why would these? Because, you know why, friend? Because they saw the empty tomb. That's why. It was no lie. And their lives were a testimony, even when in their martyrdom, that He had risen. You know, Christian, we can be a great testimony for the Lord when we endure suffering for our Lord with hope in our heart, ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within. Can I tell you, opposition in the cause of Christ is not time for you to back down. It is not. It is time to march forward. You know, too many times we as Christians make the excuse when we face opposition, well, the door must just not be open for me to witness. No, maybe it's not open, but it doesn't relieve you of your obligation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians have been martyred for their faith all around, all throughout history and still throughout the world. That does not mean it's time to be silent. The disciples were martyred for their faith. We should be ready to give an answer of the hope. You know, the thing about the gospel is it demands a choice. I said this in Sunday school earlier, this last week, but you know, you ever notice that someone can speak of almost every other religion on earth and it's okay. But in today's day and age, you're starting to get hostility for being a Christian. Why is it? Why can you speak about a religion that makes people kill others for their faith? And it's okay. But you can't speak of one who was killed that you might have heaven and it be okay. You know why? One reason. It's convicting. It goes straight to the heart. Friend, you can talk about Santa all day long and you won't hurt anybody's feelings. You can talk about a false God all day long and it won't reach to someone's heart. But the minute you start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it demands an answer as that Holy Spirit of God begins to prick at a man's heart. It must be accepted or it must be rejected. This was a people. Because of their faith, they were being persecuted. I think this, Christians, we should go forward with faith. We have become too timid. People have become too timid with the gospel. I'm not saying to be rude, but we should go forward with the gospel. We ought not be timid with the scripture. We ought not be timid with the gospel. We ought to share the gospel. You say, but it's opposition that I'm facing. Well, folks, there were a lot of folks who faced opposition for their faith. Days of compassion. Paul said this about him. He said, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Well, they were days of compassion. Not only did they cared for others, they cared for Paul. They would compare for others who were, I suppose the writer to be Paul. The Lord doesn't specifically give us exactly who it was that wrote the book of Hebrews, but the reality is whoever it was, they had experienced the compassion of others while they were being persecuted. I look forward to missions conference. It's our opportunity through compassion to give to others as they go to a place we cannot go. To see that people get the gospel in a place that we will never arrive. To be able to encourage, uplift others in places that we cannot go. And I put some scripture down here that will no doubt be read, and I won't read it tonight for the sake of time, but during missions conference. But our opportunity to help encourage another as they go about the business of what we're doing where we're at. There was compassion. Hey, he reminded them of some former days. He reminded them of future days. Skip down to verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come," what is that next phrase? "Will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." He reminds us, letter A, of a promised return, verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." He shall come. In other words, he's saying, you cannot stop his coming, and he is coming. He's saying it. He said, he that shall come, will come. In other words, don't you think you got all the time in the world? You know, when we get over on the other side, we're going to realize exactly how short our time was. We're going to realize exactly how short time was. He said, there's coming a day, and he reminds us of this. There is the promise of his return. I like Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Just after he reminds them, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he tells them about how he would be crucified and rise again. He gives them this encouragement. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his" what? "His works." Boy, it's what he was saying in verse 34 when he said, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing of yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." He said, I know why you could joyfully part with the earthly goods that God had given you is because you knew that there was a better substance laid in store in glory, and he that shall come will come, and you cannot stop him. He's coming again. He reminds us of future days. It is better to trade what you have here for eternity than trade eternity for what you can have here today. If we're not careful, we make the wrong trade. We trade eternal investment for temporal things. Rather than doing what we're supposed to do as Christians, trade the temporal and invest in things of eternity. And he reminds them of this. There's coming a day. He goes, I know you're being persecuted. I know you've been made a gazing stock. I know your goods are being spoiled. He said, but there's coming a day when he is coming again. And what he has there is better than anything you have lost here. And he reminds us of that fact. There's a promised escape. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have what? No pleasure in him. Verse 6 of chapter 11, the great faith chapter, says this. It says, he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. No faith, you cannot please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, hey, the just must live by faith. Christian, you must live by faith. Not only to be saved, but to live the Christian life. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man shall draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. For our eternal destination was changed the moment we were saved. He said, don't draw back to what you were saved out of. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 1 through 5. He says this, just after chapter 4, 13 through 18. You know that passage of Scripture that we should comfort ourselves with these words. There's coming a day when that trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be caught up to be with him, that second coming. And in chapter 5, he continues with that theme when he says, but of the times and the seasons, that's his return. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh unto them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verses 8 through 9 of the same chapter. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one of the reasons I believe in the return of the rapture before the tribulation is that we are not appointed unto wrath. Boy, hell is not my destination, and we're not headed for the wrath of the tribulation period. But he says here, we're not of those who, and he had just addressed this matter of some who had turned, would willfully turn away from their faith in the Lord. And he said, we're not of those who are going back to what we were saved from. So don't draw back. We're to press forward for the Lord. He reminded them of former days. He reminded them of future days. And here we see this one. Lastly, he reminds them of faithful days. Look at verse 35 through 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Well, the first thing he reminds them of in the day they're in, the faithful days, guard your confidence. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He said, look, I know that you are persecuted, in prison, made a gazing stock of, and you've had compassion on me, but I'm telling you, in the midst of all of that difficulty, don't cast away your confidence. He said it has great recompense of reward. You know, confidence is in our hands. Confidence is something you give up, not something you that is taken away when it comes to the Lord. God has given us great promises. What does our faith stand upon? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. God has made His promise, and God cannot lie. And He's not saying here, don't let Him, He doesn't say, don't let it be taken from you. He said, don't cast it away. Don't give up on the promises of God. Don't give up on the promises of God. Don't set it aside. Don't set it down. And he reminds them of this. If you will be faithful in these times, then don't cast away your confidence. Because it has great recompense of reward. You keep your confidence, and there is great reward on the other side. Friend, we should never go through. We should guard our confidence. Trials come. But don't throw away your confidence. Struggles come, but don't throw away your confidence. Scars will come. I think of the crown of life mentioned in the book of James. And for those who endure temptation, when I think of the crown of life, I think about scars in the Christian life. And we have scars in the Christian life. The crown of life, enduring some struggles, enduring some trials. Don't cast away your confidence. Hey, they come. He's speaking to people who experience those things. And he said, I'm telling you, if you will be faithful, don't cast away your confidence. Casting away your confidence leads to drawing back. He says, if you will be faithful, then guard your confidence in the Christian life. He says, guard your confidence. He says, pray for patience. This verse, it says here, for ye have need of patience. For ye have need of patience. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then the one none of us like, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We like love, we like joy, we like peace, gentleness sometimes, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But who wants long suffering? He said, you have need of patience. Looked at it not that long ago in a service, but it means cheerful endurance. Cheerful, hopeful endurance. You know, friend, he says, I'll tell you what your need is. Don't lose your confidence, and you have need of patience. I think most of us really probably don't need a circumstances to teach us patience. We need the supply from the Holy Spirit of patience. Holy Spirit, I need some joyful, hopeful endurance. I believe this. You know, there's plenty of circumstances that will come into your life that will demand patience. Cheerful, hopeful endurance. Those are inevitable aspects. Count it all joy when ye fall into divers, not temptations. Not if. Those times will come. But what I need sometimes in my life is that fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering that brings joyful, hopeful endurance in the Christian life. He says, if you don't want to draw back, then guard your confidence and pray God for His hopeful, enduring, cheerful patience. Lord, let me continue that I can be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within. He said, ye have need of it. You have need of patience. When you're praying for wisdom, don't forget to pray for patience. When you're praying for supply, don't forget to pray for patience. When you're praying for direction and answers, don't forget to pray for patience. He said, ye have need of it. Now, there's certain times we recognize exactly how great the need is. But other times we get a little careless with it. And he said, guard your confidence, pray for patience. And then look at this one. Serve faithfully. I like that verse. It says, for ye have need of patience. And then look at how that verse finishes there. That after ye have what? Done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That after ye have done the will of God. You know, there's going to be a day when the will of God is done in my life. But until it's done, I should be doing the will of God. I should be doing the will of God. Look, I don't know when my date is that God is there. It's a sure thing date. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And there's a date set aside. Sir, as sure as June 3rd, 1980, I came into this world, there's coming a day in which I will leave it behind. And God's will and God's timing for my life will be done. But until it's done, I must be busy doing the will of God. And Christian, I think this, we should be busy doing the will of God until God says stop. And he reminds them of this here. He goes, I know you're in affliction. I know that some have been imprisoned and even killed for their faith. Some of you have watched your loved ones go that way. Even if it was Paul might have been the one. He was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And that word doesn't mean that he was just, in Acts it says consenting unto his death. That doesn't mean he was just a bystander. He was a participant. He was a participant. He'd even testified against others. Of course, God changed his life. Talk about it, the picture of God's grace. The grace of God at work. Maybe Paul was even one of those. Can you imagine for a moment seeing the man preaching the gospel who at one time had given witness against your loved one who was delivered unto death? I wonder old Ananias had a hard time. Made sure, God, are you sure you want me to go talk to this guy? But the reality is here, he said, I know that you have experienced these things, and so I'm telling you, don't cast away your confidence. I've never been in prison for my faith. I remember when I was a kid, my dad pastored Madera Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I remember the police chief came and got him, took him down to the prison, or to the jail, and said, this is where you will be if you don't stop knocking on doors. Remember, he goes, you're going to be in this jail cell if you come out here and knock on doors again. And I remember my dad said, well, you should get ready because I'm going back out and I'm knocking on doors. Unfortunately, some in our time would just quit. Unfortunately, have already quit. But he went and knocked on some doors. Sooner or later, they changed that whole ordinance in the city through CLA, and that stopped that, put a stop to that pretty quickly. But, friend, that didn't stop the need to go, I've never faced anything like that. The most I've gotten is crossed eyes. A quickly shut door. Someone who out and about just was uninterested. Maybe mocked me a little bit, but that's about it. Friend, continue for the Lord. Cast not away your confidence. He said, pray for patience and serve faithfully. And I believe this. Results are God, faithfulness is mine. I believe that with all my heart. Brother Ball mentioned it this morning, this just a few minutes ago. He said, some water, some what? Plant. Just mentioned how that's the case over years. That's true. Who gives the increase? Where did God say we give the increase? Where did God say that? Nowhere. We water, we plant. The increase is God's. We must serve faithfully until God is done with me and calls me up and out of this world. But he gives them this call. He's about to give a long list of people. He's going to start with, I think, Abel. He's going to talk about Enoch. He's going to talk about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. He's going to talk about Moses. All of these people who wouldn't cast away their confidence, endured, and stayed faithful until God then took them to a city whose builder and maker was God's. And it's no different for us today. He's gone to prepare us a place, and one day he's coming back for me. And in the meantime, we should, if you will, guard our confidence, pray for patience, and serve faithfully. Because he that shall come will come. And when he comes, friend, he is bringing his reward with him. And there is no stopping it. And that substance is far better than any earthly goods that might be spoiled while we're here. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I love you and I thank you so